Turn in your scriptures with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start our reading together this morning at verse 35. Hear what the Spirit says to the church from Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So far the reading of God's word. They say that a picture is worth a thousand words. But since I'm a preacher, I'm going to give you the picture and a thousand words. I want to start with you by trying to give you a picture about what Jesus is experiencing with these people that are around him, the crowds that are gathered. And I wanted to try to do the best I could to give you a picture of what does it look like to be harassed. That's what Jesus experiences. And this is the best that I could come up with. I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but if you look closely, this is actually one of the heifers that we have in our lot just outside our house. And I waited for just the right moment where after a rain and all the bug detractor is gone, the bug repellent, all the little black dots on the side of that heifer are flies. And what happens when it happens right after a rain, everything's washed off, and then a cool morning like this, the sun is beating down on their side, and if you look at the other side of the cow, there's no flies on the other side. The flies are attracted to the heat, and they're sometimes they'll just sit there, but most often they begin to start biting the cow. And the amazing thing, if you look at a cow, and after you would spray some we use a thyme oil, basically, and it gets rid of the cows wherever you spray it. They will leave the back, and they will always go to their ankles. And what happens then is that the flies begin to bite their ankles until you spray the ankles with the same bug repellent. This, for me, is an incredible picture of being harassed, where the cows have no other choice but to survive the kind of pricks and bites that these flies bring on a regular basis. And so I invite you to hold that picture for a moment in your heart and in your mind. And consider how something maybe similar to this is what Jesus experiences and invites us to see in the crowd that is surrounding him. They're being harassed. They're helpless. They don't know how to get out of the situation they are in. They need someone to step in and care for them. And it's a picture like this that invites us to maybe be moved with the things that move Jesus, to find this sense of compassion that Jesus is talking about when we see this sort of need. Somebody is harassed, somebody is helpless, somebody is under this influence of something beyond their control. The text that we have in front of us this morning is to let our hearts be moved by the things that move Jesus, and to pursue alongside of him what it means to be this compassionate kingdom to those who are harassed. So hold that picture in your heart and in your mind, and then let's dig into these scriptures together and to experience what Jesus wants us to experience, a heart that moves with what moves him. Look with me first at these few words. The words are harassed and helpless. Harassed and helpless. It means to be stuck under the influence of something outside of yourself, so that you can't move, you can't change, you can't grow. You just simply are responding to the pain. Maybe it's better to maybe put it into a human story. I remember about a little over a decade ago, I sat with a friend of mine. He had called me to his house, and we were reflecting on, he had found himself in a relatively depressed state. He was dealing with some self-doubt. He didn't have a high value of himself at the time. And he was wrestling out a few things. Work was incredibly stressful. And as he shared with me, he never felt like he could quite measure up. He never felt like he was getting enough done. He never felt like he had experienced his boss's approval. He always felt like he was about three steps behind where he wanted to be at work. And so that was weighing on him, and he was losing sleep, and he was struggling to know how to navigate that experience at work. But that wasn't even really the reason that he had called me. He had called me because in the midst of this kind of depressive state and his struggles with work, he had got kind of crossways with his wife, and they were in a large dispute, and there was a lot of tension and friction between them about things that had been said and things that had been done, and he was just trying to navigate what does it look like to stay afloat, to stay happy, to stay connected. That's the sort of maybe experience of being harassed. There's things outside of what felt like outside of his control, where he was just simply bouncing back and forth and being controlled and swayed by the things outside of him. Work was telling him one thing. His wife was telling him another thing. His own heart and self-defeat was telling him yet another. And he was longing to find something consistent, something that he could land on, some place to put his feet. I would describe it as he was feeling harassed and helpless where he was at. Jesus continues that same thought, the same experience. He describes it in an image that the crowd would have understood. He talks to you about they are like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. Remember, Jesus here, and Matthew in particular, is talking primarily to a Jewish audience. He's talking to a group of people who would have known this image implicitly about what does it mean to be a sheep. See, the image is rich. The image is known. They would have known all the way back from the beginning that when God calls his people and he gathers them together, he calls them as sheep in the flock. It's actually also an indictment against their leaders, because if you remember in the Old Testament, shepherds were known as kings and priests from time to time. And so these sheep were without a shepherd. The image is known, and their leaders are failing to do what they've been called to do. And it's this invitation then to follow Jesus where he's going to bring them, because Jesus is about ready to intervene and fulfill their needs. The picture that Jesus gives us about the crowds that are surrounding him, harassed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. They can't find their way forward. And it's at that moment where Jesus has compassion on this crowd. It's an incredible word that Jesus uses here, that Matthew uses about Jesus. It means to have great love or great affection, and if you dig a little bit deeper, it actually means to be, and I apologize if your stomachs are a little squeamish this morning, but it means to be moved in your guts, in your innards. It means that something inside of you physically is off out of compassion or concern for the other person. You might get physically sick. You might get sick to your stomach. You might get a little indigestion, whatever it is. That's the sort of experience that Jesus has. It's not just a mental ascent. It's something that physically changes in his body when he sees those who are harassed and helpless, and to have compassion, it makes him almost sick to his stomach. To intervene and to do something on their behalf. What does it look like for Jesus to have compassion? Let me come back, if I could, to the story I told you about my friend. As we sat there together, he shared about his kind of experience of life, stresses at work, stresses in marriage, his own self-defeating thoughts about who he is. And it wasn't a stroke of genius that I had. It just seemed like the next logical question. And I asked him in that moment, I said, how do you think Jesus sees you? What does God think about you? And I remember at that moment, tears welled up in his eyes and he began to weep. Because at that very moment, he paused. And I don't have the exact quote, but he said something to the effect of Jesus was happy with him. And he was loved as a child of God. To the very needs that he was expressing and the sense of disconnection that he had at work and in his marriage and in his own self, Jesus reminded him that he was a loved child of God, that Jesus was happy with him. And it was to the very need that he had that Jesus spoke with such compassion and care. This is the setting of the story. This is the experience that Jesus has for his followers and for the crowds that surround him. This is the very message that Jesus wants us to experience as he then sends us into the harvest field. Because if you take note, that's at the heart of what's taking place. This message of a compassionate kingdom modeled by Jesus himself is what he then sends his disciples out into the world, starting with Israel, to proclaim. But before we get to the sending, let me remind you of where Jesus starts. Jesus starts here in this moment by sending his disciples out with authority. He sends his disciples, more on that in just a moment, who his disciples are, but he sends them with this authority. It means that authority is from Jesus so that they can be like Jesus in the world. That's essentially what he's doing. He's giving them his authority so that they can go out with this good news of the kingdom, this compassionate work that he has already demonstrated to them, so that they can go out and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. But I want you to take note with me where it starts. It actually starts inside of the group of apostles, the group of the disciples. It starts inside of this small gathering where they have to learn how to have compassion for each other, where they have to recognize the need that something is being harassed or they're helpless, and then let something inside of them move or change. Jesus gathers this small group of disciples together, and he makes them live this out before he ever sends them further. Now, just two examples of it. Take note with me. Jesus, as he lives with his disciples, Jesus is living with the one he knows will betray him. Just hold that in your heart for a moment. Jesus spends the final 3 years of his earthly ministry as he's preaching the good news of the kingdom, as he's preparing himself to die on the cross, as he's moving the gospel message forward. He does it in close proximity with the one who will betray him. How many of us, if we knew that the person next to us would betray us, would continue on in friendship and relationship with them? There's something in Jesus' heart that is deeply compassionate, that knows the harassed nature and the helpless nature of Judas Iscariot, that moves him towards Judas and holds them together. But maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I'm not Jesus, so I can't live with a betrayer. I can't do that work. But take note of another relationship where Jesus invites us to consider what does it look like to live with compassion. You have Simon the Zealot, and you have Matthew the tax collector. Remember first about a tax collector. In some regards, they've sold their soul to the Roman Empire. They've colluded with the empire, and they're just becoming incredibly wealthy by taxing their own people. Remember something about a zealot. A zealot was there to defend the people of Israel against the Roman Empire, to the point where a zealot, given the opportunity, would kill a soldier from the Roman Empire in order to prove their worth and their validity inside of the group of zealots. And this is what I find fascinating, that Jesus puts these two together in his disciples. And he says, those of you that are going to collude with the Romans and those of you that are going to kill the Romans, you have to find some way to live together, to work together, and to proclaim the good news of the kingdom together. And at the heart of it is this idea of compassion. To see the other person and how they are harassed by some influence outside of them, and to be moved in our hearts to show love and grace and kindness to them. And so Jesus not only preaches and teaches about this kingdom of compassion, but he invites his disciples, who are now called apostles, by the way, if you notice that, they are the sent ones with the good news of the kingdom, but they live it out first. They experience it in community first, and then they move from there. And when they move, take note of where Jesus sends them. Verses 5 and 6, he says, do not go among the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. Here's the fascinating thing to me, is that Jesus doesn't send them out on foreign mission or even to the next state. He sends them to the very people who should have known and received Jesus as the Messiah. He sends them, I would say, to even a more difficult mission field with those who think they know better. And so this is where Jesus sends them. He sends them to the lost sheep. Again, hear the picture. He sends him to the sheep without a shepherd, because he's come as the good shepherd and he wants to lead them and he wants to guide them, but they're refusing to follow. That theme and that thread runs all the way through the story. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to those who are harassed and helpless and love them with compassion. And proclaim this kingdom to them. The kingdom where there is a restoration of order as God designed it. This kingdom which is entered into through repentance and confession and allowing your life to be shaped and guided and obedient to Jesus Christ. This is the work of those that are sent into the harvest field. And I want to look with you as we hear that, this good news of the kingdom, about a special way in which that's practiced. It's the end of verse 7 here. And it says, as you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And I want to make the case with you this morning, if you'll come along on the journey, that word near is so important. Now, we might begin to think that word near is just a matter of timing. Jesus has now arrived on the scene. He's been working in his earthly ministry for the last 3 years or so. And we might think it's a sense of timing. But the way that this is described is it's not a matter of timing, it's a matter of presence. It's a matter of proximity, closeness. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And if you hold that in the context of what's happening in the story, Jesus sees those who are harassed, he has compassion on them, which means he is moved in his inner being, and it draws him towards those people. It brings him near to them. And Jesus is saying that this is the embodying of living out this compassionate kingdom. We move near. We love closely, not loving at a distance. The kingdom of heaven has come near. If we are truly, we see the needs of the people out there, and it moves us somewhere in our hearts and in our lives. It draws us towards people who are harassed, helpless, in need of love. You see, it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of presence. And this is what a compassionate kingdom looks like. It moves us physically towards those who are hurting. Now, in that, listen carefully to how Matthew ends this particular part of the story. Verse 8. Because if we're ever going to move towards hurting people, it starts by reminding and remembering that Jesus moved towards us first when we were hurting, when we were broken, when we were sinful. Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. Maybe it echoes what we heard in the lectionary reading from earlier in Romans chapter 5. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's the reminder that grace and compassion and love have been freely given to us. It's the reminder to the disciples that compassion and authority and grace has been given to them. And in that experience of compassion from Jesus that they have received, they are then to go out. Freely received, freely given. So I want to invite you, for just a moment, consider where in your own life you have received the compassion of Jesus. Where in your own life have you experienced that same sense of being harassed and helpless? Swayed by some influence outside of yourself that you feel like you could never escape, that you could never get rid of, that it kept moving you. Sometimes it would sit still, sometimes it would bite you. If we go back to the image of the fly. And in that moment, you experienced the compassion of Jesus. Maybe it was an overwhelming sense of forgiveness that you experienced. Maybe it was a reminder that you were loved and you are known and you are called a child of God when you felt as if no one else knew you. Consider a moment in your life where you experienced the compassion of Jesus, where he reminded you of who you are and how much you are loved. This is the moment of Jesus moving close and freely giving to you salvation and grace and mercy and love. It's his compassion being poured out on you. And then, be moved by what moves Jesus. In your own experience of compassion, who is he sending you to show compassion towards? Who is it in your own journey right now that you're connected to that is hurting or broken or caught in sin? And Jesus here this morning says, freely you have received, freely give, move towards them in proximity to love, to care, to show compassion. Friends, this is the invitation that's set before us this morning. The invitation for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called to be messengers of a compassionate kingdom. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we're being sent into the harvest field, for the harvest is ready, but sometimes the workers are few. And Jesus is saying, experience compassion. Practice it amongst ourselves, and then be sent forward, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, that there is compassion waiting in Jesus Christ to heal, to forgive, to make whole. And as you receive it freely, go and freely give. Let that same experience that Jesus has on the crowd around him who are harassed and helpless, and it moves his heart towards them, be the same thing that we put into practice as his church today. Be part of the compassionate kingdom. Receive and then freely give. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, here this morning, we ask first and foremost that we may be reminded of the places that you have shown compassion on us. Because in those moments, we will feel again and experience again the compelling of the Holy Spirit to go and show that same compassion to others. Heavenly Father, you remind us that the kingdom of heaven is near. It has come near in Jesus. And as you have taught us, it means that it also comes near when we move close to those who are hurting and offer to them the same compassion that we have experienced. Father, deepen our awareness of your grace, so that we may leave this place sent in your name to proclaim that grace, that love, that compassion to the hurting around us. Father, we acknowledge how freely we have received your grace. Send us. Empower us, challenge us to now freely give it away. For this we ask, in Christ's name, amen.